Welcome to the Cruciform Life Church podcast, featuring the weekly sermons from our Sunday gathering. Please visit us online at www.cruciformlifechurch.org for more information.
So we are continuing with our short series within 1 Timothy. And that is the gospel exalting qualifications for eldership. And you may have to bear with us. That would be our title for the next 2 months, I believe. This gospel exalting qualification for eldership would always have a subtitle. And the subtitle today is Truth Illumined Mind, Truth Controlled Heart, and Truth Ordered Life. Those are three of the qualifications that Paul made mention. We have to be sober-minded, we have to be self-controlled, and we have to be respectable. Studying church history made me aware how the monastic life has been instrumental to the preservation of the church. My course right now in the seminary is to take church history as my major. And it's so amazing to study church history. And one of the things that strike me when in the study of church history is monasticism. And do you know that almost all of our church fathers, if not all of our church fathers, were somewhat connected to monastery. Augustine, for example, you've known Augustine very well, is a monk. And, you know, if not of the what they call as the Benedictine rule, the monk Benedict, who established the Benedictine rule, and one of the rule of the Benedictine rule is to emphasize that a monk should not just be separated to study and pray, but to serve the community. Serve the community. If not of that, many, probably of the church fathers, could have spent their whole life in seclusion. And never realize how much of monasticism have left an indelible mark. Hindi po matatanggal yun in the life of the church. Well, one, it's not just about monasticism. Of course, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ also separated himself many times for prayer. It made me realize why even today, seclusion is something important to us. We just had our retreat, and that's the essence of it. We want to separate ourselves for a couple of days because we want to spend it focusing on the Lord and His Word. And so in a sense, we have a very bad connotation when we think of monks, because today monks are rather associated with the Catholics. But our roots, yung roots po natin, is deep in the monastic life. So we somehow have a sense of gratefulness that we value devotional time today. I was told that many are not having their devotion. Many churches are not emphasizing on the value of devotion. But for us, we understand that we have, at least on the first few hours of our day, we separate ourselves for the reading of the Word and responding to God in prayer. However, with all the positive things that I've said about monasticism, the negative side of it is that Christians have a tendency to make its own bubble to keep himself from the world. Our way of protecting ourselves is to physically separate from people. Now that's bad. It is for this reason that Christian who live physically separate from the rest of the people is considered spiritual. Have you ever a sense about, you know, we do not go with our unbelieving friends? In fact, we make sure that we are studying in a Christian company and make sure that we live with a Christian family and we fellowship with Christians. And who knows if God bless us, our doctor is also a Christian. And one author said, kulang na lang, we want to have a Christian dog. Now, while these Christians who are separated themselves, they don't go with these worldly people, might be seen as spiritual, he is actually this kind of Christian, that might be us as well, he is actually unaware of what is going on in his community. He does not engage himself with social issues. And generally, he just doesn't care anything outside of his bubble. He just lives within that bubble. Is that a strong Christian? Is that what a mature Christian is? Is that a picture of a mature believer? And is that the kind of leader in the church that we are looking for? One who does not go out of their house to stay in their house? Is that a mature believer? We will look into these three qualifications that Paul gave to answer these questions, this question, at the end of our sermon this morning, at the end of our sermon. I want to hang you there and spend the next 50 minutes before we will answer that question. Now, in studying these qualifications, it does not take long for the student of God's Word to notice that Paul grouped them in a way that there is something that brings these qualifications one after the other. If you really study these qualifications, you will see that Paul lumped them up, grouped them, in a sense, where there is somewhat a common denominator. If last week we saw that the faithfulness of God results to being above reproach and faithful to his wife, as we look on these next three qualifications, which are sober-minded, self-controlled, and respectable, we realize that all three of them have the truth at the center. All three of them have the truth at the center. Well, the first one focuses on the mind, the second one focuses on the heart, and the third on the life. All of these are shaped by the truth. So here's my big idea this morning. Here's the message that I want to drive home today from the scripture. An elder is driven by the gospel. That's what drives him, so that he lives with a truth-illumined mind, a truth-controlled heart, and a truth-ordered life. It's at the end of the day, it's really about what is your center. What is your center? And if I look at today, how many times have I been exposed in a sense that I thought this is how mature I am, and yet because there was idolatry in my heart, just give it a little time and idolatry will show up. And really, it makes me queer in fear that if we are just putting a facade, if we are just being shaped by the culture of the church, but in our hearts, Jesus is not really the treasure, give it the time, and this facade will break down, will crumble, and what is in the heart will come out. Isn't it the truth why some people leave the church for immorality? A decent person in the church. Isn't it that Paul said that Demas was with him all this time, but he left Paul in pursuit of the world? Because what was really in the heart of Demas was money. So it is very important that what drives us is the gospel, so that our mind will be shaped by the truth, our hearts will be controlled by the truth, and our lives will be ordered by the truth. But let's look at these three things together. A sober-minded, I want to describe it as a truth-illumined mind. A truth-illumined mind. In our time today, to be clear-minded is a must. It is a must. We need to have a clear understanding on things. It is a must. The world has been very successful to make everything look gray. As I posted yesterday, gone are the time that my parents sent me to school so that I have a clear understanding on things. I am so afraid today that when we pave in our school just so that our children would be good in staying on what is gray, to be unclear on things. The school is now about to introduce a subject on gender equality. And it is no longer about what is your sex when you were born, it is about your preference of what you are. It's making things gray. The world has been very successful. Can we consider a fetus in the womb a human being? There was a time that the fetus is clear. It's a human being. There's life. Today they're saying there's no life until the baby is delivered. Is the one speaking the truth the good man, or the one who respects the truth of others the good man? The world has been good in confusing us. And all of these confusing questions makes it a necessity that the Juan de la Cruz today should study hard, not simply that everything becomes clear, but until he is clear of what the will of the Lord is. Think about that. That is actually what we should do today. To labor hard until we know the will of God on a specific issue. Yes, the word sober-minded, in some translations, it is temperate. Generally means abstaining from wine. That's where this word came from. It really means abstaining from wine. It has the same literal reference to avoid the dance of drunkenness. How many months have you been sober? We may ask, right? How many months have you been sober? This means how many months have you not engaged in alcohol? But most believed that it is used metaphorically. Something that means deeper. It's just used as a metaphor to mean that the mind that is not intoxicated by alcohol is clear, a clear understanding, leading to a controlled conduct. That's what this word is all about. I was an alcoholic before, and I know for a fact that I lost the clarity of my mind, because the first thing that I will ask the next day when I'm sober, what have I done last night? What have I done last night? Although it touches on self-control, the main thing about sober-mindedness is clarity of mind. When we consider the next qualification of an elder, which is self-control, yes, we understand that sober-mindedness also has a connotation of self-control. But the control is only as so far as the clarity of the mind. Right? The control is only as so far as the clarity of mind. Philip Ryken is very insightful on his comment on being sober-minded. He said, "The word sober-minded describes the way a person walks late at night in the city, not paranoid necessarily, but alert." We call it, today you will call it being aware of the situation. Environmentally aware. They said to prevent crime, especially if you're walking on a dark places, you need to be environmentally aware. You need to see if there are people on your right or on your left. It is being alert. This is what this word is all about. And I think that that word alert helps us to understand this better. It means an elder should be aware of the danger and the darkness, not only for his own life, but for the life of the church. You know, I am convicted of this in the past because later on I realized, oh, there's an issue like that. I did not know. I was a monk. I was like just in the church, focus on the church. Then I realized if I am a good pastor, I cannot just focus on the church because the church is exposed to the world. This is it. An elder should be aware of the danger. Now this reminds us of Ephesians 5:15-17, if you turn there, which is actually the context of Paul's admonition on not being drunk with wine. Ephesians 5:15-17, it reads, "Look carefully then how you walk, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, do not remain to be naive of what's happening, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Look at that context. And then Paul admonished in verse 18 not to be drunk with wine. If you see the picture there, Paul is really saying that we cannot live our lives like someone who is drunk with wine and loses the clarity of his mind. In other words, the evil that we are exposed to daily in this world that we are living, we can be so intoxicated with that, we can be so exposed to that, to the point that we also could not discern anymore what's right, or what's right and what's left. Baga, yung evil in our time ay nakakalasing po to the point na pag nakasanayan na natin gawin yung mga bagay na to, that we would have an unrestrained enjoyment of these things. We need to have a clear mind on this. In our time today, Satan is good in making good things evil. Satan is good in making what's supposed to be good things. He will use it in evil ways. How much of a blessing to be able to connect to people through social media. It is a blessing. But Satan wants us to be controlled by it. Or Satan wants people to use social media to destroy one another. Or how Satan wants us to use the blessing of God to finance our idolatry. Just Lazada lang ng Lazada. Wala. Wala magawa sa buhay. Screen lang sa Lazada. And bili-bili ng konti. And how Satan uses movies. Supposedly, movies will be good. But he uses now movies to instill deceptions like Disney promoting LGBTQ in a very subtle way. We need to have a clear understanding of God's will in all of this. Yung mga tinatawag po na pagpatulog-tulog tayo, kangkungan po talaga yung pupulitin tayo sa kangkungan. So that being sober-minded has something to do with a clear mind cannot be argued if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when Paul said, you believers know already, you should know, this is the most basic thing for you. Jesus will come anytime. He will come like a thief in the night. And in that sense, you are supposed to be living in a day, not no longer in the night. No longer ignorant of the coming of Christ. You are supposed to be very clear of that. And look at what Paul's admonition in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 to 6. He said, for you are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. We are not of those who still do not know that Jesus will return anytime. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake, and there's our word, and be sober. Have a clear mind. A sober-minded person then is one who diligently studies the word. Who diligently studies the word until he clearly knows the will of God in a specific situation. If it is in the screen, I think I missed the word "the." A sober-minded person then is one who diligently studies the word until he clearly knows the will of God in a specific situation. He cannot stand with gray areas, but exposes everything to the light of God's word. That is what a mature person is. That is what a sober-minded person, in light of Psalm verses 1 and 2, verse 2, a mature Christian, a man or a woman or a candidate for eldership, delights in the word of God so that he meditates on it day and night until it exposes the deceptions of the culture. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us that a mature Christian immerses himself to the word of God until his mind is renewed, until his mind is enlightened so that he does the will of God in an evil culture. Remember, he said, do not be conformed anymore by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that we may do the will of God, that which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And in light of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17, a mature Christian, an elder, is not foolish to be deceived by the darkness of this world, but wise to understand what the will of the Lord is. How many times that we are aware of the problem, but instead of diligently seeking the word of God to know the will of God, we are content with knowing that there is a problem, although we really do not know what the problem is. Alam ko may problema dyan, alam ko talaga eh. Pero we stay there. Instead na saliksikin po natin yung salita ng Panginoon, instead po yung pag-aralan natin hanggang makita natin yung problema, we are content with just knowing that there is a problem, but really does not know what the problem is. Why is there a problem with the Dept Ed incorporating into the curriculum the topic of gender equality? What is the danger of it for our children? Are we in favor of the divorce bill that has now been approved by the Senate committee which handled it and is now seeking for approval from the plenary in the Senate? Actually, divorce is in the scripture, annulment is not. Divorce acknowledges that there was marriage, but now will be terminated. Annulment says there was no marriage in the first place because of a husband who is sexually or mentally incapacitated. There was really no marriage at all. It is denying marriage. However, what I wanted to know is the grounds that one can file a divorce. There is a reason why Jesus said only because of marital infidelity Can a man be permitted to file a divorce? The danger with the divorce bill is that anyone can just terminate marriage and lose sight of the sacredness of marriage. And that's very important that we pray for that, because imagine how it will destroy the fabric of our community. And be more liberal one day. It's really a question of, are we ready for that? So an elder should not, an elder is not slothful. An elder is not slothful to settle down with generalities, but diligently studies to see the details of a situation and what the Word of God says, so that he will know the will of God. I think I want to highlight there, an elder should be diligent to seek the Word of God and study the culture so that he would always understand what the will of the Lord is. Remember that the work of an elder is to lead the church to the will of God. He cannot himself be unsure of how to look at the issues of his day. One of the things that we have not done good, and I want to acknowledge that one, is speaking about social problems of our day. We have not been good with that. And we need to repent. We want to change that. We want to make sure that as leaders in the church, we want to speak on our social issues and what we think is what the Word of God says on these things. For all of us, not that we would be current event-centered, but in our small groups, it will be good to wrestle with the Word of God and the culture so we would know what the will of the Lord is in specific situations. Remember, the knowing is just not just in the mind, but in the heart, and then the application of it in our time today. So an elder is sober-minded, truth-illumined mind. Secondly, self-control. An elder has his heart controlled by the truth. I also posted this week in social media stating that maturity can be seen as growing from emotion-driven to truth-driven. What controls our decisions is actually the issue when we talk about self-control. What controls your heart? Is it our appetites? Is it simply our emotions? Or we are driven by God's truth? Now, self-control has a negative aspect, and there's also a positive aspect. Negatively, the negative aspect, self-control is being controlled or is not being controlled by self. You should not be controlled by self. On the positive aspect, self-controlled or self is controlled by the Word and the Spirit. And we will see later on why is that very, very important. We have to look at both if you are to understand biblical self-control. Again, as I've said, the word self-control has something to do with decision-making. And while we readily recognize that most people are really controlled by their own flesh or self, their appetites, their desires, their urges when they make decisions, now we have to be very, very careful of falling into the other side and think that when the Bible speaks of self-control, it simply means having a strong resolve to deny oneself. Now, just having a resolve to deny oneself, you know what the Bible calls that? It's asceticism. Or if you may, the Stoicism also exercised that. Christianity is not asceticism. We're not simply denying ourselves of good things. That's not Christianity. It is not merely denial of oneself by our own strengths. It is denial of ourselves because we want to follow Jesus. It's Jesus-centered. if you may. When the Bible speaks of self-control or being self-control being self-controlled, we understand that the self which has controlled us all this time is now being controlled. It's now being controlled. Yes, one author defined self-control as the ability to say no to one's desire. The ability to say no to one's desire. Sometimes the hardest thing to learn is to say no. Right? Especially for people who are shy, ashamed always, even if you don't want to do it, you will just say yes because you're so ashamed. Sorry, Pastor. Wala talaga akong balak uminom. Nahiya lang talaga ako eh. And then, nung after nung isang baso, nahiya pa rin ako, binigyan ako ng pangalawa, nahiya talaga ako. Sometimes it is about saying no. But any person today, in our time, any millennials today, who just wants to do whatever he or she wants, YOLO, would surely ask, what is wrong with pursuing our desires? What is wrong with following our own hearts? Now, there should have been no problem about following our own hearts if our desire is still entirely directed to God. But it is no longer true after the fall of Adam. In fact, Jesus was so radical, who understood very well what happened there, because he is God. He said, out of the heart comes theft and murders, sexual immorality. You don't expect anything good that comes out of your mouth. Paul said this in Galatians 5:19 to 21. He said, no, the works of the flesh are evident. It's obvious. He said, anything that comes from the flesh, you would right away identify it because these are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, even drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. These are the desires that naturally flow from out of our hearts. And because of that, Paul said, instead of being controlled by your own heart, you should be in control of your heart. You should be in control of yourself. So any mature Christian, especially the elders in the church, should control his fleshly appetites. Should control his self. A French writer wrote, how shall I be able to rule over others if I have not full power and command of myself? Makes sense. You cannot even control that which is inside of you. You don't even have a command to make that which is inside of you follow. How can you be put above others? One way to see if we have matured as a Christian. One way to see if you have matured as a Christian is if you have learned to control yourself. It's a clear display of maturity. What I do, if there are sweets placed in our table, and I am borderline diabetic, I would stand out from the table just so that after one slice, I will not get again. We should be able to do that. The scripture uses this as one of the obvious characteristics of a mature Christian, because this word self-control is primarily used at that time to controlling one's sexual desires, which is one of the hardest areas to master, one of the hardest areas to control. The growing number of immoralities testifies to the realities that most people are controlled by their appetites instead of being in control of it. But again, let us not be naive to think, oh, it's just true with sexual appetites. I'm a woman. I don't struggle that much. Oh, Satan knows how to heighten our appetites. Today, again, we are having a hard time controlling our appetite for social media. We are having a hard time controlling ourselves in our pursuit of success. We are having a hard time being contented with what the Lord has provided for us. Satan used everything to make us think that opportunities are around us and they are ours for the taking. In fact, let's talk about this. If we are to be honest, most of us are not living our lives in obedience to God, but in pursuit of the desires of the flesh. Most of us are not living our lives in obedience to God. It is now more than ever that we should learn how to control our appetites. Now, to control our appetites is difficult. It is given. It's given. I don't think any of us would say, Pastor, I don't have any struggle anymore. I have it under control. No, it is given. It is difficult. It is even impossible apart from God. But I am afraid, here's where I am afraid. Not that we struggle. I am afraid that we have a deeper problem. That is, we do not even know that we are not supposed to just pursue whatever we want. That we are not just supposed to give in to whatever we want. And it is no wonder that we have not really developed the self-control that we are supposed to have. Are you intentionally developing your self-control? Are you asking the Lord for it daily? Lord, grow my self-control. So that everything I do is not a spontaneous, obedience to how I feel, but a product of a thoughtful process. However, the question that needs to be dealt is, how can we exactly control ourselves? It seems to me that if we can subdue the strength of Samson, then we can control ourselves. And for those of us here who are here and you're talking about self-control and you're thinking, I want to have that self-control. No one understands. You will never be able to control yourself until you first and foremost acknowledge that you are actually controlled by yourself, by your sinful desires, and it explains all the sins that you have. That you have done in your life. And unless you will understand that the only way for you to be saved but through the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you understand that despite of your sinfulness, Jesus chose to die for you in the cross of Calvary so that the Holy Spirit will dwell in our hearts, we will never be able to develop self-control. So come to Jesus. This is not just change your life message. This is not just the better version of you. No, this is not a little tweak here. No, this is you needing a new operating system. You need the Holy Spirit to be in you if you even desire for the things of God. But for us Christians, at some point, we would feel how hard it is to deny our appetites. It's hard. Many of us just bowed and submitted to our sinful desires because we feel powerless against it. I even think that before we make a sin, we already know that if I'll make the sin, I will go through the cycle again of condemnation and guilt, and it will take some time for me to really have the confidence before God. We know that. But we are like an MMA fighter subdued by another fighter, and we felt like we do not have the strength, so that we just voluntarily submit. I think this is where most of us have either forgotten or have not understood what the Bible said about being self-controlled. See, self-control, like other traits ng pagiging Kristiyano, never grow out of one's strength. The Bible never calls us to produce self-control from our own self. This is listed as one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The sad truth is that many Christians are still foreign to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Many only think of being filled with the Holy Spirit when it comes to the so-called charismatic gifts. But obviously, the main command or the passage in Ephesians 5:18 that says be filled with the Holy Spirit is not talking about it. In fact, the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is a submissive wife, a loving husband, an obedient children, a loving father, etc. These are evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Far from the thought that one is filled with the Holy Spirit, when one is filled with the Holy Spirit, he loses control of self. When you lose control of yourself, that's not the Holy Spirit. It's Satan. The truth is that when the Holy Spirit fills you, you are in control of self. That's exactly the opposite. He is able to yield to the Holy Spirit. The context of Galatians 5, 22 to 23. I want to look on this a little bit, even if I cannot finish my third point. It's fine. The context of Galatians 5, 22 to 23, where we find the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Paul's admonition is to walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16. That's the main command in this passage. Walk by the Spirit. And it is right. It does not say walk in the Spirit. It says walk by the Spirit, because the word walk there talks about a conduct of life. In other words, this passage tells us live your life in the manner or by the manner of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul said, if you walk by the manner of the Holy Spirit, then he said, you will not gratify, you will not indulge, you will not enjoy the desires of the flesh. So what he's saying is, if we are to be self-controlled, then we should learn how to walk by the Spirit. Notice that as the flesh has its own desires, the Spirit also has his desires. Galatians 5:17. The question here is, to which of these desires should we yield to? When we yield to the Holy Spirit, we deny the flesh. When we yield to the flesh, we deny the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, then, is to surrender our wills to His desires. This is what we need to learn here. Now, before we will fall into some mystical experience, I would yield to the Holy Spirit. Before we think that it is mystical, understand that Paul did not have that in mind. Yes, we personally experience the Holy Spirit because He is a person. Let's balance this. Sometimes we reform, we make the Holy Spirit, we make God like words written. No, the Word, the Bible, is our way to know the person. We experience the Holy Spirit. But Paul continued differentiating the desires of the flesh from that of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you know that it is of the Holy Spirit when it is obvious that a thing is not one of the desires of the flesh, but that of the Holy Spirit. So when we choose the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we are yielding to the Holy Spirit. So far from those who said that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, so that they did not know what they were doing. You came to a gathering and you said, "Oh, every one of us were filled with the Holy Spirit. I do not know anymore what happened. I was just crying." That's Buddhism. You get it from yoga. Empty your mind. Scripture never said empty your mind. Scripture says fill your mind with Scripture. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to discern or be conscious or be aware that a thing that you are about to do is of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it is really far from mindless experience, because the work of the Holy Spirit, we cannot ascribe a work to the Holy Spirit that He was not sent to do. The work of the Holy Spirit primarily is to illumine our minds so that we may understand the Word of God, which is centered on the Gospel. In other words, the Holy Spirit makes us understand the Gospel in all its beauty, that our hearts might yield to it. Let's look at the prayer of Paul for the Ephesians very quickly, that they might be filled with God, or that they may be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. I've read this one earlier. Here's what Paul said. For this reason, so he just said about the beauty of what Jesus has accomplished through Him, all people are gathered so that the plan of God to have a people for Himself materialized through Jesus Christ. Verse 14, he said, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that you are really sure that Christ is in you, so that, as you are sure, you are rooted and grounded in His love." That is a posture of faith, certainty that you are in the love of God. "May have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge." You see, the work of the Holy Spirit is to make us understand the beauty of the Gospel, so that, Paul said, you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you may, being filled with the Holy Spirit is Gospel-centered. A self-controlled Christian is one in whose mind is illumined, a self-controlled Christian is one whose mind is illumined by the Holy Spirit to understand the Word of God or the Gospel, through which He provides the power to yield to His control instead of the flesh. Yes, the Holy Spirit gives power, but His power flows from seeing the Word of God. It means that the more we meditate on the Gospel of Christ and the Holy Spirit allows us to gaze upon its beauty, producing His strength in us, the more we have self-control. We want to have self-control, but this is the problem with us at times. We want to have self-control, but we do not meditate on the Word of God. That doesn't work that way. You have a situation with your friend, with your spouse, and you're heated, and you want to have that self-control. But your mind is filled with the anger, the problem with your spouse, the problem with the person that you're talking. Your mind was not filled with the Gospel. Do you expect yourself to have self-control. You were driving down EDSA. You want to have self-control. You were caught. And you allowed that thing that the person did occupy your mind. Do you really think you will have self-control? Oh, at least that's not the biblical self-control. When we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we might bear the fruit of self-control, we do not mystically feel in our body as if the Holy Spirit is like giving us a dose of a vitamins. We gaze on the cross instead. We meditate on the Word because the Spirit works with the Word. The Spirit and the Word go together. Self-control then involves our mind, our heart, and our wills. It involves our mind, it involves our heart, and it involves our wills. One commentator rightly said that this word self-control or self-controlled calls for a balanced comportment marked by prudent, thoughtful, self-controlled behavior. Self-control is from mind, heart, and hands. Hindi yung mga buti na lang, napigilan ko pa yung ama ko, pero sa utak, wala na. An elder is constantly gazing upon the cross so that he is not one who is overpowered by his own appetites, but submits to the will of God through the Holy Spirit. See, self-control should lead to overcoming sin. We need self-control for the primary purpose that we want to overcome our sins. Paul said this one. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, "But I discipline my body and keep it under control. I discipline my flesh and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul then said that we should not be like the Israelites who were receiving grace from God, and yet instead of obeying God, in the wilderness, they tested the Lord. They fell into sexual immorality. In other words, self-control, Paul is saying here, I want to exercise self-control because I want to overcome sin. I do not want to be like the Israelites. This should be true to an elder, yes, but this is true to all of us, isn't it? We have to be conscious in developing self-control by filling our thoughts with the gospel. We still have time. I think we have to end here. Sayang yung truth-ordered life. Okay, let's pray. We see again that the mind should be shaped by the truth and the heart should be controlled by the truth. I hope this is us. I hope that we see ourselves when we are in a situation. We look at the situation, we go back to the scripture because we want to have the mind of the scripture as we think of things. And as we deal with our appetites within, let us not just grit our teeth and say no, because no, when you do that, you could not. If you want to control our appetites and our desires, let's fill our mind with the gospel of Christ.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Cruciform Life Church podcast. Check out more gospel-centered messages at www.cruciformlifechurch.org or subscribe to this podcast at Spotify.